And here we go. All right, welcome into the Patriots podcast. My name's Sean. His name is JJ.
Hello.
All right, all right. So we are one game down into this 2017 season.
Preseason.
Oh, one game into the preseason, yeah. but what'd you think? I mean, game was last Thursday night. They basically didn't play anyone.
Yeah, they held out, what, like the league-leading 37 players, I want to say?
They held out twice as many as the next closest team.
Yeah, they're just basically like,
this game.
Yeah, fuck this. No, we saw some good stuff. I mean, the first preseason game, everyone knows. Well, actually, you know, the first preseason game and the fourth preseason game, everyone knows, are the two, you know, where you don't really see a lot of starters. But the first preseason game in recent history, we usually see a lot of guys.
Yeah.
You know, the only one that really doesn't play when he's healthy is Gronk. But everybody else, for the most part, has played. Even Brady, sometimes he's gone into the second half.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that 37 or 30, whatever it is, didn't play, Belichick said the reasoning was because it was a really good week, you know, with the joint practice at Jacksonville. They've had joint practice before. It's looking like the team's coming together pretty good.
I don't know. Yeah, I never know what to think about these things when Belichick changes his strategy like this. Like, I'm wondering, you know how they switched over the strength and conditioning coach, like, either last year or yeah, I think it was a year ago.
Yep.
So this will be the second season with the new strength and conditioning coach. I wonder if they're, like, looking at it differently somehow now, if they're getting different analytics on however the players are performing in practice.
Yeah, I know. I don't know.
You just never know, but you always expect whatever the Pats are doing that they're a step ahead.
Right, that they know what they're doing.
Yeah, like they're doing it on purpose versus the Jaguars who just trot out Blake Bortles out there and make them look terrible.
Yeah.
It wasn't that bad, but I mean,
It was also against the twos and mostly threes.
Mostly threes, yeah. Yeah, some of the starters, I mean, we just start right away with Dietrich Wise.
Mm-hmm.
He was starting at one of the defensive end positions, and, you know, we had heard so much about him in camp that he was progressing nicely and it was even ahead of Coney Ealy and Derek Rivers, who was drafted before him, the other rookie. And, you know, Wise was out there and he looked okay. And just looking at him on the field, you're like, this dude's got size.
He's a big dude.
He looks
big guy.
He looks good out there, but it only took a couple series and then he got a head injury.
Yeah, which is not a good way to start your NFL career with a concussion.
I know. They haven't officially said really much about it, but they don't have to, so they just don't.
Yeah. So that wasn't good. We're going to get more into the Deion situation a little bit. But then Deion Lewis was out there, which was surprising. And I don't know if that's because we were discussing while watching the game, if it was a numbers game, which it certainly could have been, or maybe they just kind of wanted to get him a little more work. I mean, James White didn't play, so that's a clear indication that he's the number one receiving back, especially after the Super Bowl performance. But Deion Lewis, I mean, I don't think his spot is in jeopardy. He is just too talented of a guy just to get rid of.
Yeah.
The only flip side of that coin is if they do want to bring somebody else in from another team, maybe they use him as trade bait because they have the receiving back. But I still think that's unlikely for what that guy's done and how explosive he has been in the past, you know.
I know. He's so talented. I mean, I was just thinking back on the Texans game in the playoffs. Deion Lewis was huge in that game. He had two touchdowns.
Yeah.
He was huge. And you don't give away a guy that can impact the game that much, even if you have a person who plays a similar role or even two.
That's also good. Right. And it's not like he looked bad at all. I mean, he was definitely the best player on the field.
At least on our side of the field. Yeah.
Yeah. When he was playing, making guys miss on a dime and stuff like that, his usual old self. So nothing to be concerned about. Just, you know, interesting that he was out there. And then you saw some guys making some waves. That kid Carr.
Austin Carr, yeah. The rookie free agent from Northwestern, I want to say.
Yeah, Northwestern, yep.
Catching the touchdown pass. He had a number of catches before that. He just seems like one of those guys that's got a knack for getting open.
Yep, exactly. And he's got good hands.
He's got good hands. He's got pretty decent size, too. 6'1", 195.
Yeah, I mean, we have an overstocked receiver position, but he made a nice case for himself.
I know. You wonder if somebody like that, we've been hearing about Devin Lucien too. I didn't see that much from him. He's more of an outside the numbers receiver. At least that's the way they've been using him. They gave him a couple shots on jump balls, But he made some plays last year in the preseason, and I think over the next two games we're going to be seeing a lot of playing time from between him and Jimmy G, and they've seemed to have a pretty good connection.
Yep.
So he's another guy that could make some, you know, make some rumblings at the receiver position and see if they can unseat any of the top five guys.
Right.
Which is a tall
very
task.
Tough to do. Yeah, it's you have to
really tall task,
especially for an undrafted guy. Yeah, that's.
I know, and you wonder how the roster is going to be constructed, at least at the beginning of the season, because I mean, then you're factoring in a guy like DJ Foster, who's that running back receiver kind of scat back that they kept on the roster all year last year,
right?
Even though he really didn't play all that much, but they clearly liked him. They're going to be running out of spots at those skill positions, which brings us to the other skill position, tight end. I mean, the Patriots MVP of that game was Jacob Hollister.
Yeah.
That tight end guy went over 100 yards. I mean, Jimmy G played really well too.
Yeah.
Jimmy G went 22 of 28 for 235.
Mm-hmm.
And two touches, no interceptions. All right, I take
pretty
that
damn
back.
Good.
I take that back. Jimmy G was the best player.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Hollister was making plays. 7 catches for .116.
That's pretty damn good. That's what his numbers ended up with. Wow.
Yeah. Good player. And you know, he looks the part too. He's not super bulky, so he's not going to be, you know, that kind of
big
like
blocking tight, right? Yeah.
Matt, if they want a big blocking tight end, Matt Langle's your boy.
Yeah.
But this kid Hollister is 6'4", 239, so he's a little bit on the smaller side. So you wonder how they're going to fit him in.
Mm-hmm.
Dwayne Allen's supposed to be a really good blocker. So between Gronk and Dwayne Allen doing the blocking duties, and this kid, you know, maybe providing more of a receiving punch than Dwayne Allen, he might be able to make the team.
Yeah. He certainly could. I mean, with those numbers, if he continues to play well. I know they've done a pretty good job. And then also that another undrafted rookie that kind of made – that looked good too was that backer. What's his name? The guy you keep talking
Harvey
about.
Langy.
He played a lot, and he was in on a lot of tackles.
I think maybe it was Christian Fourier just pronouncing it incorrectly, but he was saying Langy. It's spelled L-A-N-G-I. I don't know how it's pronounced. And quite frankly, I'm not taking advice from Christian Fourier on how to, you know, say
no.
people's names and comment on a game.
At all. He doesn't know what's going on.
Ooh, those guys are tough to listen to sometimes.
It's a bad... They were a little better this time than last year around, but I mean, they just don't know when to stop talking.
And they just keep harping on the same jokes repeatedly.
Yeah, they have so many inside jokes. It's like, guys, we don't get the inside jokes. We don't think they're funny. That's for like you and your crew. Nobody else thinks it's funny.
Exactly. But yeah, so Hollister looked good on offense. The only other thing that really stuck out to me was Garcia. I think it's Antonio Garcia, right?
The tackle?
Yeah, the tackle that we took in the third round. Did he even see the field? I mean, he certainly wasn't one of the top two left tackles.
I think he's injured.
Is he? Is he banged up? But I
think something.
I knew he was going to be a developmental prospect.
Yeah. Well, then we have another tackle we drafted, and he did play.
He played. He was a second-team right tackle. That was
McDermott. I think Garcia is dealing with some kind of injury or issue.
Yeah. I
don't think it's anything major, just enough to keep him out of, you know, a preseason game, you know.
Yeah, but that's going to be – I expect him to be on the roster, third-round pick with the type of potential that he has. But if he isn't going to be ready to see the field at all this year, then that's going to have a big bearing on how many offensive linemen, reserve offensive linemen, we're going to want to keep. And then, you know, that plugs back into that receiver running back debate we were just talking about.
Where
just, you run out of spots.
Yeah, exactly.
So if he can't be a rotation piece, I mean, or be ready to fill in if need be, then you're going to have to keep Fleming and Waddle. And then it just jams up everything.
Right.
Or, you know, Fleming and McDermott or Waddle and McDermott, however it works out. Yeah, that was really it that I noticed on offense. Defensively, I guess just real quick before we get to defensive ends, on the interior defensive line, this kid Josh Augusta, he wore 72. He started the game.
Yeah.
He stuck out to me. He was playing really well. I think he was first or second on the team in tackles for the game. He was third on the team in tackles. And he's got good size, and I was just watching him. He's got nimble feet too. I'm like, how do you a guy with this type of size and athleticism, how does that fall to an undrafted position?
Would he go to a tiny little school?
I don't know. Josh Augusta went to Missouri. I mean, he's 6'4", 335, and I saw some really good athleticism.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I could potentially see that guy. Granted, this is only one game and yada yada, but I'm going to be keeping my eye on 72 for the next two games, without a doubt.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Now on the edge defender position, which is where all the question marks are.
Yeah.
We already mentioned Wise getting the start and then getting injured. Behind him was Derek Rivers, the third round pick. He seemed pretty good. He looks shredded.
He looks the part for sure.
He looks for real the part. And he didn't jump off the screen to me. It's not like he made any outstanding plays, but he could possibly be in the mix at edge defender. He did get injured this week at joint practices with the Texans.
Oh, really?
On a kick return. They said it was a knee.
Oh, God.
And I know. He didn't return to practice, so who knows?
Oh, God.
I know. As if we need to deplete the depth anymore at that position. And then that brings me to my whipping horse of preseason so far, Coney Ealy. Was it just me? Does he look fat?
Looked a little fat. Didn't really look like a D-end.
Oh, he looks heavy.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
not that happy with it so far, but if he gets back into shape over the next 3 weeks, maybe you're looking at a much better player.
Yeah, I don't, that's tough to gauge. I really don't know what to think about that. All I know is that D-end is going to be a problem. And whether they go out and get somebody, which is not, I mean, it's not like you're going to go find somebody without giving up a lot. That's going to be a huge, huge difference maker. Mm-hmm. I mean, you might find some fill-ins. I don't know if they bring Van Noy or McClellan back. But maybe they just change their defensive philosophy and go to more of like a 3-3 thing. And then have like a some kind of like tweener.
Yeah. And we still haven't seen Lawrence Guy yet. We don't know how he's going to be used.
Right.
By all accounts, he was a very effective pass rusher and minimal opportunities with the Ravens last year.
Mm-hmm. But he's still big for a standard. I mean, I think they go to a 3-3 down lineman. I mean, we have the personnel for that.
Yeah. We've done 2 down linemen and 4 standing guys pretty consistently.
Yeah.
Like, I can just think back to 2014 when we got Akeem Ayers standing up on one edge, Ninkovich standing up on the other edge. That's when we would bump Chandler Jones down inside. You know, we've done that 2-4 look a lot, and whether those guys on the edge have their hand on the ground or not doesn't really make that much of a difference, especially in a strictly passing situation.
Right.
But we've gone over repeatedly what depth they have at linebacker when you can put Hightower and Harris on the inside, and then that frees up everybody else to go on the outside. And really, now that I think about it, there's not that many everybody else. It's really Kyle Van Noy and Shea McClellan.
If Freeney sticks, or if what's his name, the rookie last year, if he makes strides, I mean, you could always put one of those guys in the middle, and then you put Hightower on the outside too.
There's definitely that. And you know, if I think Trey Flowers is most effective rushing against guards, but you know, if you get enough out of Lawrence Guy on the inside, and then you want to keep Alan Branch, I mean, Alan Branch can be a handful.
Oh yeah.
So if you want to keep those two guys in the interior and you got to use Trey Flowers on the outside, so be it.
Yep.
And as goes with any situation that we talk about, football is not one of those things where you just have a starting lineup. It's not like basketball where these are our best 5.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And that's who's going to be out there at the end of the fourth quarter. It's like it's going all over the place. You're going to try all different things.
Well, yeah, and especially with a more passing league, running backs are less and less. Running games are less and less. Like a 3-3-5, it's going to be a lot more something like that, I think.
Yeah.
Especially with Harmon now that we signed him and gave him, you know, paid him a little bit.
And he's going to get plenty of playing time. And we got 3 cornerbacks that should all see a lot of playing time as well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cornerbacks. Oh, dear. Cyrus Jones was getting picked on.
Yep. It was unfortunate.
He got a ton of playing time. He was starting the game opposite. Was it Jonathan Jones on the other side?
I saw a lot of Jonathan Jones,
Justin,
I guess.
Justin Coleman played a lot of cornerback, too.
Yep.
But Cyrus, he gave up, 2 deep passing touchdowns? Or 2 deep passing plays?
Yeah.
Ugh, he was just...
Well, one was a catch and run.
Yeah.
The other one was just over his head.
It was just not that great.
No, it wasn't.
That was a 97-yard touchdown that he gave up.
Yeah, not good for his confidence.
Yeah, not to mention the 42-yarder. They had him out there. He had every single kick and punt return and didn't do anything with it. I mean, it doesn't look good. He looks nervous on returns. He looks like he's just.
He looks like he's in his head.
He looks like he's in his head. Exactly. He's not just running. He's like thinking
overthinking it and not just using his athletic ability to go.
And so much of that has to be ball security concerns. He's mm-hmm. just going, oh, I can't put myself in a position where I might fumble.
Right.
And then it just sacrifices all that athleticism that you saw at Alabama. All that dynamic return ability, and it just goes away, and then you're left with a guy who can't cover on defense and doesn't do anything in the running game or in the return game, and you really wonder how much longer he's going to be on the team. I mean, he's going to get at least the rest of preseason.
Yeah.
To get some sort of momentum going, because if that doesn't happen, I don't think he makes this team. We just talked about how valuable each roster spot is going to be.
Yeah. And that's the thing. If they didn't have as much talent, I would definitely hold on to him and see mm-hmm. what happens. Because everyone, he's done. Get rid of him. And it's like, well, he's a young kid. I mean, he's 23 years old or something.
Yeah.
You know, if his mind's not right at the moment because he's nervous or he doesn't think he's good, blah, blah, blah. I mean, he is athletic. He's very athletic. I mean, something good could come out of this.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time, which unfortunately for the Patriots, there's just too many people that are too good. I mean, you don't want him to take somebody else's spot that is a blossoming star.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to cut a, like that Josh Augusta kid and then watch him go to the Bears and become dominant. You don't want to see something like that happen. But we don't have to do final cutdowns until after the fourth preseason game, because this year they switched it. It used to be you cut down to 75 after the third preseason game, and then you go to 53 after the fourth preseason game. And this mm-hmm. year they just said, why in the world are we doing that first step? Because nobody could figure that one out.
When do they have to do the cut to 75?
Yeah, why was that even part of it?
Yeah,
they
want to
save people's salaries for 1 week?
Right.
So they're just doing the straight 53-man cut down, which means that Cyrus Jones is almost assuredly going to be on this team for the next three preseason games, and he just needs to make some strides.
Yep.
He needs to show something.
That's all he needs to do.
Right now, he was definitely the worst cornerback on the field, and he wasn't providing value in the return game as you want. So it's like, are you going to cut Justin Coleman for a guy who's not as good defensively?
Exactly.
And who you don't even trust to be your return man or don't see any reason to put him back there? So he's got an uphill road ahead of him. I'm rooting for him definitely.
Yeah,
but it's we're gonna need to see some improvement, or else he's not gonna be sticking around very long.
Yeah, it's I mean, I hope we get something out of it. You invested a second round picking him, so they know, you know, they invested a lot in the kid, so you don't want to see him gone after a year.
Exactly. You don't want to see that Roberto Aguayo happen.
I was going to talk about that. I think that's insane that they cut him.
It's hilarious. I mean, he was terrible. He was god-awful.
He was that bad?
Yeah. He was terrible. If he was just like some guy, if he was Nick Folk or just some kicker that was on your team, he would have been cut without a doubt.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He was that bad?
He's bad. He's really bad. Here, I'll look up the stats, but I mean, he was...
I mean, I can't believe they spent the second round pick on the fucking guy and then cut him.
He was at Florida State.
And cut him a year later.
Yeah, he was outstanding at Florida State.
He's probably going to be nasty somewhere.
He could. And this is what I was just, yeah, he was 22 of 31 last year.
Is that that?
That's pretty damn bad.
I mean, that's not horrible.
That's pretty bad. And I would have to look into it more about, like, were they chip shots? Were they potential game winners?
Right.
How much was he hurting that team? That team kind of overcame a lot. They didn't have a bad season. But I was just thinking about Mike Nugent. You remember Mike Nugent?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's a kicker at Ohio State. He was terrific in college. He was a second-round pick of the Jets.
Yeah.
And he only lasted on the Jets for, I believe, two seasons. He missed two possible game-winning field goals in a playoff game.
In a row, right?
Yeah, in the same game.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and he didn't last beyond that. Gets cut, goes to Cincinnati, and has a really strong career.
He's still there, isn't he?
I don't know if he's still there. I'll check, but it's not like he was just an out-and-out bust. It didn't work with the Jets. A lot of people don't work out with the Jets.
Yeah.
He's on the Giants right now. Mike Nugent is.
He's back with the Jets?
Giants.
Yeah.
He's been on Cincinnati for like the last 8 years, something like that. He's been a good player. So, yeah, it could totally work out for Roberto Aguayo, but
He got picked up by the Bears.
Yeah. That's a tough-ass place to kick in the Windy City.
I know, right?
A Florida boy. Well, he could. Maybe he just needs to get the heck out of Florida. But yeah, Cyrus Jones would be in a similar position. Second round pick, not making the team a second year. Possibly. Mm-hmm. Now, elsewhere on defense, Hightower still on the pup list. Branch got off pup. Matt Slater's been out of practice for like a week. He hurt knee or ankle.
Something, yeah.
Yeah. You don't think about it, but Slater's like 30.
Oh, yeah. He's getting up there. Yeah. He's a seasoned vet.
Yeah, it happened. We talked about Ninkovich retiring.
Yeah, we did.
We definitely talked about that. The other Patriot great that retired this week, Vince Wilfork.
Vince signed a one-day contract with the Patriots to retire as a Patriot. It's great. I wish he never left.
I know, same here, but he didn't have it. He wasn't the same.
No.
You want to see him trot it out? I mean, it sucked watching him tear his Achilles.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm surprised he didn't have more injuries with the Texans, but his role would have been very, very limited. And like to be honest, the last two seasons, Alan Branch has been a much better player.
I think so too. Well, yeah, then Vince was in Houston, sure.
Yeah, exactly. But Vince, I mean, all time great Patriot.
Yep, for sure.
He killed. I think for sure he's a Patriot Hall of Famer.
Absolutely, without a doubt.
I don't see him as a Pro Football Hall of Famer. Not quite.
You don't think so?
No. I think Richard Seymour is. I don't think Vince did enough in the passing game.
A lot of D tackles don't make, I feel like, the Hall of Fame.
No, it's...
You have to be amazing.
It's the guard of defense. Yeah, it's very limited, the guys that are going to make it. And
that's the thing. Like, over the past 10 years, how many guys can you name that were better than him?
Over the past 10 years at
D tackle. Maybe Kevin Williams.
Kevin Williams was. Haloti Ngata was.
I think Haloti Ngata was better.
Yeah, yeah.
He was only better for like a year or two, though.
He was a couple years. Give him three.
Yeah, maybe.
Vince really peaked from about 2006.
Yeah.
To maybe 2012.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
That was really the meat of his career. No pun intended for the,
I mean,
the
three All-Pros.
Well, three second-team All-Pros, one first-team All-Pro for Vince.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, but all-time great Patriot. I was reading, like, I guess Vince's parents died when he was in college, and he showed up when he was first drafted, and he had a locket, and it was a picture of both of his parents. And then when Bob Kraft's wife, Myra Kraft, was sick, Vince had a locket made just like it with Bob Kraft's favorite wedding picture of him and Myra Kraft in it, and gave it to Bob. And Bob wore it for the full 11 months that Myra was getting treatment.
Really?
Unbelievable. And after every single game, Vince would give Myra a kiss, and he would ended up giving Bob Kraft a kiss too. And then once Myra died, then Vince would give Bob a kiss on each cheek. He just seems like the best dude.
Absolutely. Dude, that's great. He was awesome. And then his little commercial on going out, and he goes, I'm hanging up the cleats to go to Grillin' Meats. And he's in this like thing, and he did that little like jump up and tapped his toes or whatever it was. That was great.
Yeah, it's funny. There was a period when before Randy Moss got to the Patriots that I think you can make an honest case Vince Wilfork was the best athlete on that team. You could make a serious
you
case
could definitely it. Make a case for it. Freakish, definitely.
Freakish athlete.
For that size. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's huge, and he moved. I mean, he had a couple interceptions. You really don't see D tackles getting any.
I was just going to bring that up. My favorite Vince memories. I mean, besides all the times that he would just decide this double team's not going to do it.
Yeah,
and he would
destroy
the double team, blow up the play in the backfield. But those two interceptions he had, what was that, 2011, I want to say?
Yeah.
He had two interceptions in a season.
Yeah.
And you just get to see him rumbling and bumbling down the field.
And it was awesome.
Oh, I got to find a YouTube clip of that sometime. So thank you, Vince, for your service. One of the great Patriots ever.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Now, elsewhere around the league, there's been a couple developments in the last week. The Bills went on a trading spree.
Yeah.
They cashed in on Sammy Watkins and sent him to the Chargers for E.J. Gaines and a second-round pick next year. Now, I don't know much about E.J. Gaines. I think he's a cornerback.
Yep.
But, I mean, they traded two first-round picks to move up to draft Sammy Watkins. Granted, that was a prior GM that was running the show back then, but they cashed out. They said, enough's enough.
I know, which is a problem. I mean, he just gets injured.
Yeah,
problem.
He just can't stay on the field.
Yeah.
But
even when he was on the field, they never really used him. It's not like they ever tried to get they really tried to get the ball to the guy.
I mean, they did. He was a good player, but he wasn't outstanding. I mean, what did he have? He was a 1,000-yard receiver 2 years ago.
True.
I'll check how many games he played, but certainly never lived up to the hype. This is a guy that got drafted before Odell Beckham.
Right. What was he overall? Was he
like four or five?
Yeah.
Crazy high. Beckham went in the early teens.
Yep. So they got rid of him.
Yeah.
And then they brought in Jordan Matthews from the Eagles. Is that what
it
was?
Yeah, they traded Ronald Darby straight up for Jordan Matthews.
So they brought in another receiver, but Jordan Matthews is all right. Right? He's okay.
Jordan Matthews is a good player, but I've only seen him in the Oregon offense and the Philly offense, and I swear all I've seen him run are drags. He just runs a drag across the field, and that's it.
Yeah.
I know I'm wrong about that, but I feel like that's the only route I've ever seen him run.
Really?
Seriously, I feel like he's a very much a one-trick pony. He's great at it. He's got good size.
The one-trick pony. Maybe he is. I really haven't seen enough about him to know what it is, but I do know that neither of those moves is going to really benefit the Bills this year.
The second round pick. I think I like the Sammy.
Well, that's why I said this year.
Yeah, I like it because it was his last year under contract.
Right, might as well get some value. They didn't want to re-sign him.
They declined the fifth year option. They weren't bringing him back.
Yeah,
might as well get that second round pick. Now the Ronald Darby for Jordan Matthews. I don't know. Darby had a really good rookie season in 2015. Last year, a little dip down. Very similar to what we saw out of Stephon Gilmore. For whatever reason, that defense didn't perform as well last year as it did 2 years ago. But
yeah.
2 years left on his rookie deal versus 1 year left for Jordan Matthews, who I view as somewhat of a system player. Now, you can build him into your system, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
That Philly offense is pretty similar to what the Bills are going to be doing with Tyrod Taylor, running out of the shotgun, handing off a lot, you know, play action, crossing drags behind linebackers who have to respect Shady in the running game.
Yeah.
So maybe that will work out really nicely for them, but I feel like 2 years left on a cornerback after you just lost your best cornerback in free agency is better than 1 year of receiver.
I guess. Don't know.
That's just how I look at it.
Yeah.
But maybe they like this E.J. Gaines dude. I don't know anything about him.
I don't know much. I've definitely heard of him. I don't know much about him, though. Yeah, they clearly like him. I really don't know what to think about that. But whatever.
We'll find out. We'll see how it plays out this fall.
Yeah, absolutely.
Watch Ronald Darby be absolutely filthy.
In Philly?
Yeah. Watch him just be locked down. Who knows?
Yep.
Forgot the preseason game in Foxborough. Roger Goodell, that slimy little bastard.
He made it
in.
There. Yeah.
Just woo. That is such a power move. Good for him. I think that was, he didn't really have a lot of good options. He can't just sit out opening night for the
second. Yeah, he had to make sure that he could make it and it would be okay. And
I mean opening night of the regular season.
Right.
He can't just skip that 2 out of 3 years only when it's in Foxborough. It's like,
right.
You can't be that guy. So the only thing he could do is make like a soft opening. You know, like restaurants
right.
will do a soft opening. That's what he did.
Yeah.
Crafty. I don't mean to use that word.
Yeah. It worked out for him because no one knew. So there you go. But
think he's a slimy bastard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of Roger Goodell, he just suspended somebody.
Yep.
Zeke
Fuck him.
Gets 6 games.
Burn him at the stake.
Burn who at the stake?
Zeke.
Why?
Just out of principle.
Out of principle? Well, I mean, if he's terrorizing his girlfriend.
Well, I understand all that, but the thing that I think is so funny is that Mr. Big Dick over there, what's his name, Jerry Jones.
Speaking of snakes.
Yeah, when the Patriots were getting levied all their shit and everything, he said, specifically, we all sign an agreement, and sometimes you just have to take your medicine. I believe that's what he said. And
he said
now,
something very similar. He said that the commissioner has a difficult job and he has my full support.
Yep. And you know, when sometimes things don't go your way, you got to swallow it and take, you know, swallow your pride and take your medicine, something along those lines. And we did. And I can almost guarantee somewhere on the podcast in the past, we said, we wish that something would happen to Jerry Jones just so he would see the other side of the coin. And that's what happened. And now he's like, oh, we're not following the league policy. We're going to do whatever we can to fuck this, all this bullshit.
Yeah.
You know what, Jerry Jones? You can go fuck yourself.
Exactly.
That's what you got to deal with. That's what we dealt with for no reason. We didn't even have – it wasn't even like there was a reason. It was just like, oh, you know, we're going to make some bullshit thing. Well, this kid actually did something.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
But I think they've been there was some legal troubles that he had along with it. So it's not like the NFL made it up.
Right.
It's like the legal system is really looking into this.
So yeah. Jerry Jones, I could go for it. You know, and I don't even know what they're complaining about. I mean, Zeke last year was very good. Really
outstanding.
Good. Outstanding. But, I mean, it was really the offensive line. You could have thrown fucking anybody back there.
Really? Is that why Alfred Morris had the same yards per carry as Zeke?
No.
Oh.
But there were games, depending on the game, there would be like a hole like 7 feet wide. And you just see Zeke in there. And it's just like, well, anyone could run through that.
Nobody is doubting that they have an unbelievable offensive line.
And they still have McFadden. So like,
but Zeke is also special.
Zeke
There's
is
a reason
special.
He's the top five.
He is very good.
Yeah.
By himself. But I don't think it's going to really hurt them too much. Nobody expects them to do anything. Well,
nobody
expects the
Cowboys. They were the best team in the NFC last year.
Yeah. I don't know how.
Well,
they
got a lot of lucky breaks. They got a rookie that played better than any rookie in my memory.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, Dak was even better than Roethlisberger was in 2004 when he went 15-1.
Well, caused Romo to retire.
Yeah.
Booted him.
The Zeke got 6 games. I don't know how that jives with the recent, you know, they like renegotiated domestic violence and how that's going to be punished, because previously it would have been like 1/2.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
he's appealing it.
Yep, who knows? So. And typical snake Roger Goodell delegates it to the independent arbitrator. They love saying things are independent. Oh, who's paying them? The NFL. How many times has this guy seen an appeal? 90 times. 90 fucking times this guy has heard appeals as the independent arbitrator.
Yeah, so he's, I mean, I don't know how they even said
it. He's essentially an employee of the NFL. Are you gonna
He is an employee. It's not even essentially. He is.
Well, he formerly was an employee, and now he's a consultant.
So he's still an employee.
Who is only employed by the NFL. That's the only one that... I just made that part up, but I assume...
He only consults with the NFL?
I feel like... Is this guy settling labor disputes with construction companies?
I mean,
no,
it's a private company, so they could do whatever the fuck they want, but it's still just stupid.
It is. Well, because they mislead you. They say he's an independent arbitrator. Why is that tough to say? But he's not. You know he's not.
Syllables.
Nobody believes that he is.
Right. It's just...
But fuck him. Fuck him all.
It's nonsense.
I hope he ups his suspension, and I hope Harold Henderson decides that Goodell is out of his mind and can't belong in his job.
Burn him at the stake.
Now I'm just talking out of my ass. Jay Cutler.
Jay Cutler
is in the AFC East.
Back in Miami.
Anybody, if you had asked me which team Jay Cutler would be on a month ago, I would have told you the Jets.
I wouldn't have said Miami.
Yeah, but Tannehill ends up getting season-ending surgery.
See, that's what I didn't know. I didn't know it was season-ending when they were in contract talks. We were talking about this.
Yeah, they weren't letting on. They were just like, I don't know, second opinion.
Yeah, and then it came out that, yep, done for the season. So actually, it's a pretty damn good situation for old Jay Cutler there.
You couldn't ask for a better situation if you're him.
Right?
You're going into a place, you got pretty decently low expectations.
Yep. It's Miami, so it's a nice place to warm. You're not going to, like, Buffalo or somewhere in the middle of fucking nowhere that sucks.
I don't know. With his arm strength, he'd probably do well in a place like that.
Yeah, true.
I guess that's what Chicago
Fairly,
thought. How'd that work out?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Fairly good team, good receivers, good running back, decent defense. I mean, enough that you can make some waves.
And most importantly, an offensive play caller you've worked with and played well with.
And Adam Gase, yep.
Yeah. Number one thing, that's the best Jay Cutler's has played. He actually had a really good season with the Broncos. Remember when I think he went for over 4,000 yards? Brandon Marshall had an insane season. But
yeah.
Since then, the 2015 season he had with Adam Gase in Chicago was the best he's played.
Weren't they terrible in 2015?
I think they were like 6-10 or 7-9. I don't know. See, that's
where the bar's at. We're talking about Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
That's why nobody signed him until August. But I don't know.
Initially, he was out of league.
When I heard this, I was like, this is the Dolphins just bumbling over themselves.
Yeah.
Because if Jay Cutler plays well, then you got to have all those talks next year about, oh, should we bring 35-year-old Jay Cutler back, or should we turn the reins back over to disappointing Tannehill? And
no.
You're just setting yourself up for an issue there. That's if he plays well. Now, if he plays badly, then why'd you just spend $10 million on a shit quarterback when you're already paying $5 million to Matt Moore, who
right.
He's getting paid like one of the top backups in the game. Why don't you let him fucking play?
Exactly.
So I didn't understand it, but now that I'm thinking about it more,
with the season injury. Yeah.
It almost feels like if you get Jay Cutler in there and he plays decent, like average to slightly above average, and you compare that with what you've been seeing out of Tannehill for the last 5 years and that god-awful contract he's got, which actually isn't that bad a contract because they have an out after this season.
Okay.
They can just move on from Tannehill. So if Jay Cutler plays, and it's that much better than Tannehill, then you're like, well, we just got out of Tannehill's contract.
Yep.
Time to move on. And whether you do like 2 years of Jay Cutler and try to bring in a young guy, or I don't know who's going to be on the market.
I don't think they're keeping Cutler.
I wonder if it's a transition away from Tannehill.
It could be their okay. So it's their first steps in leaving Tannehill mess behind.
Yeah, because it's kind of hard to hand out a $100 million contract and then the guy gets hurt and you go, whoops, we're going to move on from you. And the fan base goes, to who? And they go, anyone's better than that.
Yeah,
like you can't do that. But if Cutler plays better than Tannehill or has more success than Tannehill has been having, which Tannehill got him in the playoffs last year, even though Matt Moore started the playoff game.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's curious. I'm gonna have some fun watching them this year.
I don't think Cutler's back. The only way Cutler's back is literally if they go to the AFC Championship and lose. That's like the only way. That's the only step he comes back. Any other situation, no. I don't think so.
I don't know.
He
could play well. They got weapons, man. They got Jarvis Landry is one of the
nasty.
Best slot players in the league.
Who's their running back? They got Jay Ajayi.
Yeah, they got Ajayi.
He kicked ass last year for like the second half out of nowhere.
Yeah. Devontae Parker has all the talent in the world. On the outside, they just traded for Julius Thomas.
Yeah, Thomas. He's,
Mike
he's
Pouncey's
a good player.
Coming back. At center, that's huge for them. That's huge. Every time he goes out, their offensive line falls to pieces.
Yeah.
And they're bumping Laremy Tunsil out to left tackle this year because they moved on from Brandon Albert. And Laremy Tunsil is the most talented left tackle I've ever seen coming into the draft.
Really?
Yeah.
That was the dude that got the reason he fell because he was smoking a bong, like in the video? Someone released it the night before the draft.
They released it 10 minutes before the draft.
It was 10 minutes before the draft. Yeah, yeah.
He got fucked out of like $10 million.
Yeah, because of some stupid video.
Twitter video. Or whatever the fuck it was on. Yeah.
Oh my God.
But they have the pieces around him, and like we brought up, Adam Gase is one of the best offensive coaches in the league. He just is.
Okay. Yeah.
And by best, top 10.
Okay, I'll give you top 10.
Yeah, I mean, look around.
I don't even know, like,
who's coaching the Jets offense, the Bills offense, the Browns
offense,
the Rams.
I was
going to
say, I mean, you only know, like, what, 10 or 15 offensive coordinators maybe
at
any given time?
Or any sort of play caller offensively.
Yeah.
So, yeah, who knows what's going to happen in Miami, but it'll be a lot more fun to watch them than the Jets, I'll tell you that much. Oh, we almost got through not making fun of the Jets.
They're ranked number 32 in the power rankings, obviously. It's just, it's bleak.
It's really bleak. There's no signs of going
it's
up.
Nothing. Being a Jets fan right now. And then the best part, if you're a Jets fan, you hate the Patriots. And the Patriots aren't, you know, setting every expectation and breaking them.
Yeah.
It's like, they just, you know, they traded for Brandon Cooks and he's lighting it up at practice. Mm-hmm. Awesome. That's what I need to hear. And then their team just is terrible. So it's bleak. Bleak time for the Jets.
That's
I hope
really
it stays
bad.
Like this forever.
And their most exciting offensive player was going to be Quincy Enunwa, and whoops.
Yeah, and the poor guy, what, he teared an ACL, knee? What was
I don't know, but yeah, seriously, poor guy. He had a great season last year.
Yeah, he was building. I even wanted to see him play. Like I was like, and then and that was like the only player on the Jets team that like Jets fans actually liked and could root for.
Well, Leonard Williams.
They have the D line, but this doesn't seem like they really like any of the D linemen.
You should not like Leonard Williams. There's a lot to like about that.
That's
kid.
True. No, he is good.
He's a real good player.
And they used to love Mo, but since his
Wait, they got that the safety. Oh shit, they got John Gruden's butt buddy from LSU, Jamal Adams. Oh
yes, Jamal Adams.
Oh, Jamal Adams.
Well, we got to see what he does first. You think he's just a sure in?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. Okay.
I think Jamal Adams. I would rather watch Jamal Adams than any other rookie this year, and that includes Deshaun Watson, some guy that I've been harping on.
Really? Hard.
Yeah. Jamal Adams is a freak.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll see what he can do.
Jets, but fuck.
Maybe they have a good defense. I don't know. I hope not.
Maybe, maybe not. Todd Bowles is a good coach. Decent defensive coach.
Yeah.
So now the Patriots are in West Virginia.
Mm-hmm. Why'd they practice in West Virginia? If they met Houston halfway? Why would they do that?
I think that's where Houston is doing their training camp.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
I know the last two seasons, it's at this resort called the Greenbrier, which evidently has incredible tradition.
Mm-hmm. A lot of history happened.
A lot of history. And, yeah, the last two seasons, the Saints did training camp there. And so I think the Texans are doing training camp there this year.
Hmm.
So
okay.
They met there, and they're going to fly to Houston for the preseason game on Saturday.
Yep.
Now, I haven't heard too much from these practices. I mean, I feel like the news that's coming out of these practices is just dwindling.
There's
like,
nothing.
We don't hear. It used
no
to be
reporting
like
anymore.
Three up, three downs we would get from every practice. We'd get notes. We would get participation.
Yep.
We got no idea. I mean, it took me a long time to find out that Dante Hightower is still on the PUP.
ESPN no Boston coverage is like, I don't know if they've like shut it off or something or like stop reporting. It's been nothing. I don't know what happened.
Terrible.
They're like, it's only they're like pieces. It's like written, you know, articles and stuff. It's no longer statistics or anything like that. It's
yeah,
like,
we don't get shit. We used to get completion percentage from like Brady and Garoppolo.
Everything.
We used to get all that.
All of it. What they were doing, like the daily schedule. That was all ESPN Boston. Nothing. The Patriots website has some stuff, but it's not that in depth either.
Yeah.
It's so like they at least give good plays.
Yeah.
You don't even know who's doing good. Like you barely hear Brandon Cooks is doing good, and then you read somewhere else, wow, Cooks has been lighting it up, one-handed grabs, blah, 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 blah. And then, like, ESPN Boston will do, like, one article 2 days later about it. It's like, oh, way to go, guys.
I know. I don't know.
Over there.
I don't know what happened with all that. So we don't get a whole lot of news from these practices. I mean, basically the only thing I've heard is that Derek Rivers is banged up and Coney Ealy had his best practice of the summer.
Yeah.
On either Tuesday or Wednesday.
That's good.
Practicing
That's
with the Texans, which is huge.
They need that. They need a D-end.
Yeah, they need some serious depth at that position.
Because didn't it happen when we drafted Flowers and was it Grissom?
Yeah.
We expected both of them to make strides rookie year. They both got hurt, right? Or Flowers did.
He was out the whole year.
And Grissom was just a practice player, dude.
Yeah, I think Grissom was on the roster maybe his whole rookie season, but then was on and off the roster his second year.
Okay, that's what it was. But still, neither of them made waves because Flowers got hurt. So, I mean, putting a lot of faith into these two guys.
What a great opportunity for Geno Grissom to get some playing time.
Yeah. I've seen him in person, too. He's enormous.
He's a professional football player.
I know. I don't know how he's not. I don't know. I've seen other pros, too.
Have you seen everyone else?
Yes, I've seen a lot of other dudes, too. And his size surprised me. It honestly did. Like,
you reminded me several times on this podcast that he's 6'4".
He
is a shorter guy.
Very big. Very big dude. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this would be a perfect opportunity.
Really?
His third season in the league.
Like long arms. Like he looked like he would be a nasty DN. He looked, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But he's just not. Like he hasn't been up to this point.
Hasn't been yet.
So, yeah. Up to this point. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Are we good?
And that brings us to preseason game number two. I mean, what are you looking forward to? I think Brady's going to play.
Yeah.
At least a little bit.
Most of the offense will probably play. What if Belichick holds him out again?
He might.
No, he wouldn't do that.
That's the thing is we don't know why he held everyone out the first game.
Right. Especially that many people.
I mean, and this is coming off another long week of joint practices, the same way they were the first week.
Yeah.
For the first preseason game. So he might decide, no, you know, these guys have seen enough reps.
against this team, but maybe not. I would expect Brady to play most of the first quarter.
Yeah, I'd say first quarter, maybe even first half. Well, that's usually what he does in the second game. They played the first half was tradition,
yeah.
Traditionally. But like you said, with the whole wrench thrown into everything, we'll see what happens. But yeah, gotta love to see Brady coming out. How this offense kind of goes. They're usually a bit rusty though, so it's not like everything clicks immediately.
Yeah, well, they don't have Gronk.
And they won't have Gronk.
And I don't know how much Edelman will play either. Mm-hmm. I feel like he's going to be on more of a pitch count this season than he has been.
Think so?
I think so. There's so much depth at that position. He wasn't even playing the most snaps last year. Chris Hogan played more snaps than he did. I want to say true. The year before that, Brandon LaFell played more snaps than he did.
I don't know if he's going to be on a snap count. He might just not play as much. Because, I mean, if Cooks takes off.
Yeah.
And then it's between him and Hogan. I mean, and they might just let him ball out, too. Be like, oh.
What does that mean?
Like, I don't know. No snap count. Like, just go out.
I'm not saying a snap count exactly, but I think that they will build in more rests for him. I think that he'll get more breathers in favor of Malcolm Mitchell, in favor of probably Amendola.
You always forget about Malcolm Mitchell there. I mean, he played really well.
Yeah, I think Brandon Cooks is going to play a heck of a lot.
I do, too. And they're saying he's great. They seem to love him. So. Yeah,
and then between Hogan and Mitchell, they're going to play a lot on the outside. I mean, Cooks can play on the inside. He might be most effective in the slot.
Yeah.
So then you kind of piece together where Edelman fits in outside of that.
Yep.
I mean, it'll be fun to watch. So yes. For this week's game, who are you looking forward to seeing? I mean, besides all the people that we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, the DNs and stuff like that.
You want to see Brandon Cooks.
You want to see Brandon Cooks. I want to see how this offense goes. Like Cooks, Hogan, and Edelman, and like James White. Like, what are they going to do? Like, what are people going to match up against?
Yeah.
Never mind no Gronk. You know, like, just that whole unit. And the offensive line, we really haven't heard much about. So it's the same unit as last year. Not a whole ton of talent on there, though. I mean,
on the offensive line?
Well, Tooney, like, had an awesome year last year, and you hope he continues it.
He had a good year.
A good year. Well, for a rookie, for like a third-round rookie.
He had an awesome year for a rookie.
For where he can,
overall,
you know.
Overall, he was
serviceable. Okay, good, like, yeah. But so that's kind of a question mark for me. And then who is even our other, Shaq Mason. He's pretty good.
That's talent.
He's pretty good. And Andrews, I've never been completely sold on. He's serviceable, too.
He's got limitations.
Hopefully they can keep it together. Maybe they're good.
I'd like to see, I think Gillisley is still banged up, right?
Yeah, he's not playing.
But Burkhead? What happened to Burkhead? I wouldn't mind seeing him out there.
I'm surprised. Yeah, how the hell did he get time off? He must have been. Is he hurt?
I don't know. See, this is why we need news. Yeah, I would like to. I would much rather see him taking hits than Deion Lewis in preseason.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it'd be fun to see how they use him, what they can get going in the running game.
And Dwayne Allen.
Dwayne
Allen.
Let's see what Dwayne Allen's got.
So, yeah. He's got your boy. That's your boy.
That is my first time. Well, I loved him coming out of Clemson.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't that good in Indianapolis. But maybe it gets better.
It was okay. He had one or two decent years, right?
They turned him into a blocker.
Yeah.
And I thought he had a little Antonio Gates knack. Just
really?
Not fast, but can cut, can generate a little bit of separation, get some daylight.
Yeah.
And I thought he had terrific hands.
So yeah, I mean, you were saying Guy.
Lawrence Guy. Yeah. I want to see that guy. Ah! Didn't mean to do that, but it did. All right. Anything else you wanted to share with the listeners?
I'd like to see Vincent Valentine.
How
he's improved, if he's improved at all, because he's a big old motherfucker.
Yes.
So he can fuck shit up. So
I completely forgot about him. That's a powerful man.
Yeah, you know, and then Malcolm Brown's third season too.
Yeah.
I mean, the two of them, if they develop, that'll be huge for the defensive line. We might not even worry about the end. If the two of them are really good with Branch.
Yeah, just rotating. They're always fresh.
You can put anyone at the end. That'd be pretty good. So
that would be. Nice call. Yeah, yeah.
No?
They invest on the interior and then let the edges take care of themselves.
Exactly. That could be big. So if those guys take those steps, that'll be fun. And Gilmore, if he gets out there.
Good call. I keep forgetting. How do you forget
$60 million man.
Yeah, exactly.
On your defense.
How does that just slip my attention?
He's the highest paid dude on our defense right now, right?
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
So, yeah, nobody ever taught you. You never even think of him.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Should be fun. Yeah.
The corners, hopefully, yeah.
The what?
Corners. The corners. Just all of them out there. It's good.
Yeah, just locking down DeAndre Hopkins.
Pretty much.
Probably see Hopkins. Ooh, we get to watch Deshaun Watson, too. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
All right. So that second preseason game, Saturday night in Houston. Hopefully we get to see Brady. Hopefully there's no injuries.
Knock on wood.
Yeah, should be a fun time. Mike Vrabel's the defensive coordinator there. Do you know that?
Oh, yeah, he was there last year.
No, but he's the defensive coordinator.
Oh, that's
Romeo
right.
Romeo Crennel is assistant head coach.
What the hell is he doing?
I don't know. I would imagine helping with the defense.
That's crazy. Good for Vrabes.
Yeah, Vrabel was the coordinator. That happened fast.
Yeah, he was only there for a few years. They must like him a lot.
And he started in Ohio State in like 2011. Like he's been coaching for 6 years, maybe.
Yeah.
All the way up to the top. Larry Izzo is the special teams coordinator.
It's all the Patriots.
It's Patriots. Romeo Crennel's the assistant head coach. Bill O'Brien's the head coach. I mean, it is Patriots South in that coaching staff.
Literally. Just a little tint on the colors. Just like down there.
Yeah, kind of. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thank you guys for listening. We will be back next week to talk about preseason game number 2.
Absolutely.
Catch you later.
Adios.